Hello, friends. This is Pastor Bill Clark. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, friends are the first two words I begin each message that I get the privilege to share each Sunday. I get to tell my friends about the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. I also consider friends to be one of the greatest gifts a person can have in this earthly life. Most of the episodes will be messages I share each Sunday, but from time to time, I'll invite a friend to share some of their life with us over a beverage. I pray these episodes bless you and help you on this journey of life. God's blessings to you, friend. This is a message I shared at Timothy Lutheran Church on Sunday, April 7th, the second Sunday of Easter. It's from John chapter 20, the account of Doubting Thomas.
Hello, friends. We have to say these great words once again this morning, or we don't have to, but we are. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You guys definitely did better than 8 o'clock, I can tell you that this morning. Now, I know a pastor right here in Iowa that started every single service with that. Every service he did was those words. Those wonderful words were also the start of his funeral. Made me think, I wonder if we said these words every Sunday, would they lose their luster? Would they become parts of our worship liturgy that sometimes, we'll have to admit, becomes routine, doesn't it? Meaning every time we say them, do we focus on the process of saying the words, reading the responses, singing the hymns? Do we just focus on the process, or do we actually focus on the words themselves and the meaning? Saying the words, He has risen on a Sunday other than Easter, reminds us that Easter is not a one-day festival. Every day this side of the resurrection is Easter. Jesus died on Good Friday, was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he arose. The tomb was empty. These great words from the angel recorded Mark chapter 16 from last week. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." I'm not sure if you notice, and it's easy to overlook, today is the second Sunday of Easter, not the second Sunday after Easter. Now, we have other seasons in the church year like Christmas and Pentecost, but the Sundays following Easter are not after Easter, but of Easter, because the proclamation of our Lord's resurrection cannot be confined to one day, but goes on throughout the entire seven Sundays of the Easter season. Easter Sunday, though, for this year is over, isn't it? But Easter is definitely not over. Our calendar for the church year gives us 6 more Sundays of the Easter season, as I said. But let it be a reminder to us all that even that is not enough, because every Sunday, if you will, is Easter, isn't it? As Christians, we worship on Sundays because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Every Sunday we come to worship. We are worshiping on the day of the week that Christ arose. You ever make that connection? It's simple. Would you ever make that connection? It's simple. It's easy to let that one just skip right by and forget. Sunday is the day that Jesus left the tomb empty. He is not here. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was a wonderful day here at Timothy. Great music, the smell of the flowers, the pews filled, the parking lots filled. Everyone gets excited about Easter Sunday. But what about today? What about this Sunday? What about next Sunday? What about the Sunday after that? I was thinking about the crosses we put up for Good Friday. What if I left these crosses up here with your names on them and they're stamped, paid in full by the blood of Christ? If I left these up on the altar, would they soon lose their effect or their meaning? Would they become nothing more than the furnishings we have in the sanctuary? As I think back to this last week, I asked myself this question. I'm going to ask you the same question this morning. What difference does Easter make for you? And that last part's important because you personalize it, right? What difference does Easter make for you? Remember last week we talked about how Easter is celebrated. You profess it and you possess it. Easter happened. That's profess. Easter is happening in me, though. That's possess. So what difference does Easter make for you? Do you just profess Easter and that it happened? Or has Easter become more personal where you possess it? Where you know and believe through faith, Easter makes a difference for you. Easter doesn't just make a difference. It is the difference, right? It is the biggest difference. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ make being a Christian a complete and big difference from anything else. What difference does it make? The second Sunday after Easter is a day when we read the account of doubting Thomas. This inner welcome, we go straight from the resurrection of Jesus last Sunday to the doubt of Thomas, one of the 12 chosen apostles just a week later. For me, Thomas answers two questions. Two questions for me as a Christian that was not alive during the time of Christ. First, Thomas addresses all the doubts that we have. What Jesus did doesn't seem possible with our human understanding. But for God, anything is possible. Can you imagine if the issue of doubt after the resurrection of Jesus was not addressed? Because I'm here to tell you, there's some people that still doubt it happened. Jesus just fell asleep. He recovered in the tomb for 3 days, and he was fine after being beaten to a bloody pulp and crucified. I'm so glad the gospel writers include the account of Thomas, because we all have Thomas moments, don't we? Moments when we doubt God because he's not answering my prayers. Or moments when we doubt him because something bad has happened to someone we love. What does Jesus do in our reading today? Jesus proves to Thomas is he is who he is. And Jesus already knew that he had doubt. For me, the doubt for Thomas wasn't, well, there's the doubt that Jesus was alive by seeing the marks in his hands and his feet, but there's also another doubt for me. The doubt for Thomas is, why didn't you come when I was here? Why didn't you come when I was here? You ever have moments where you felt left out? Didn't they call that FOMO now? F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Moments where you felt like questions could have been answered if I was just there. God knows we have questions. It's okay. Because we change, but Jesus doesn't change. The writer of Hebrews recorded, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The second thing Jesus does is he reassures us that we do not need to see to believe. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We believe because of the witness of the Apostle Thomas and the other apostles, and not because of what we have seen. After Jesus' resurrection, people in the early church and today, even today, will come to faith without seeing Jesus. How do they do that? On the sole basis of the apostles' witness. And what is their witness? What a difference Easter makes. What a difference Easter makes. Easter changes everything. Look at our first reading today from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book of the early church, if you will. The book of Acts for me is a book of action. The church in action, the disciples in action. The disciples and the early church were imitators of Jesus. Remember we talked about that, the difference between being an imitator and a spectator? The disciples and the early church were imitators of Jesus. They professed Easter and they possessed Easter. They professed Easter and told people it happened. And if you have any doubts, ask Thomas, right? More importantly, they were answering the question, what difference does Easter make? What difference does Easter make? They answered that for themselves, and then they were sharing it with others. They were being disciples. What is a disciple? I love this definition. A true disciple is not just a student or a learner, but a follower. One who applies what he has learned. Right? Because you wouldn't want a plumber coming over your house if he just read a book about it, would you? You want to have some hands-on experience. You wouldn't want a carpenter coming over your house that's never run a saw before, would you? They applied what they learned. They imitated. They were apprentices, if you will, under Jesus. This truly made a difference for the early church. Our reading from Acts for today shows what a difference Easter made in the lives of early Christians. The people we read today sold all of their property and gave it to the apostles for the needy. Seems kind of hard to believe today, isn't it? Because what's mine is mine, right? You hear the two-year-olds say, mine. Well, we as adults still say the same thing. We just say it differently. What's mine is much more common and natural for our lives today. If you have need, maybe I'll do something about it. I'll pray about it. Maybe God will lead me to help you out, but it's not a sure thing. After all, I have needs too, right? I have bills to pay, things to buy, retirement to save for. I have a daughter and got engaged last week. Weddings aren't cheap, apparently. You can't expect me to take care of you, right? In this world, you're on your own. Maybe the government will help you out. But don't expect me to bail you out. And that kind of thinking is easy to understand. We do it all the time, and it's not only us. It's been happening throughout the history of man. The people from long ago used to argue about whether the sun traveled around the earth or the earth traveled around the sun. And they're both wrong. Not only the earth and the sun, but the entire universe centers around me, right? I'm the center of it all. My hopes, my desires, my fears, my thinking all center on me. Not someone else, not even God. Me. What was the first sin? Eve. Satan tempting her. What did he say? You will be like God. You will be like God, the devil told her. It wasn't true. But ever since, the devil has been repeating this lie, and we have been falling for it hook, line, and sinker, haven't we? We define our own values, make our own rules, and do what pleases me, including my possessions. We make gods out of ourselves and out of our possessions. I earned it. I bought it. I'm going to do what I want with it. It's mine. But that too is a lie. What we have in this life depends entirely on the goodness and the gifts of God. There's nothing in your life that God has not given you. Nothing. That includes our talents, our opportunities, our successes. All result what God has done for us. Moreover, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of it. Of course, Eve soon discovered that Satan's temptation was a dead end, literally. And so do we, every one of us. We think we're in charge. Until you're not, right? Then it's too late. Because the wages of sin is death. It all ends in the grave until it doesn't. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, for Jesus Christ is alive, risen from the dead. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the difference that Easter makes. Our Lord's resurrection overcame the penalty for sin, death, because his crucifixion overcame sin itself. He took all the sin of all peoples upon himself. Started with Adam and Eve, and then every one of their descendants, even those yet to come. And those include every single one of us. But now Jesus is alive. We've got Thomas as a witness. Our God and our Lord is alive. Sin has been paid for. Death has been overcome. Take you back to Good Friday if you were here. At our Good Friday service for confession, each one of us put our name on a card. I know when people walked in, they looked at us like, you want to put my name on a card? What's this for? Is this a new way of taking attendance? You just want my first name? What about my last name? How's the secretary going to know I'm here? Right? Follow directions. Big name on the card. Bring it to church. But that card represented our sins. And then during our confession time, our name with our card with our name on it was nailed to the cross. An image, a representation that once we place our sins on the cross, they stay there. They are paid in full and they are forgiven. There is room on the cross of Jesus Christ for the sins of all who have sinned. If you doubt that your name and your sins were not on the cross of Christ, think again. Do not doubt. Easter changed everything. What about loved ones whom you doubt about where they are with their faith? Just continue to pray for them. Ask God to bring people into their lives that will profess Easter and share beyond a shadow of a doubt that Easter changed everything for everyone. Everything is different now because of Easter. We know that what Jesus told us about God is true. God is our loving Father. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God redeemed us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Our heavenly Father takes his perfect, his tender loving care for us. He provides for us. And at the end of this life, he welcomes us into the next. Do you remember the description he gave to the repentant thief on the cross? Paradise. You'll be with me in paradise, Jesus said. But the devil's still out there lurking. And for sure, sin rears its ugly head. But neither devil nor sin can take away what we have in Christ, a God who loves us. That's why the first Christians we read about today in our reading could respond as they did to the needs of others. Christ had freed them from the sin of self-interest. They no longer said, it's mine. God had filled their hearts with his love, and that love overflowed to others. And there was not a needy person among them, Luke wrote. Of course, though, we say today, well, that was like 2,000 years ago, right? Times are different now. Physical need, they're not so pressing. If somebody has a need, they can go out and find help. It's out there. They just have to find it. But what about other needs? Respect, companionship, purpose, security, feeling loved? How good are we supplying things like these in our community? How are we doing in being imitators of Christ? Since God takes care of us, we can take care of others. It's not just our money, but it's also our time, our talents, our energy, and more importantly, our love to one another in response to whatever challenges life brings. That is why we do things for others. That is why we give out the Easter hams a week ago Saturday, right? That's why we have the blessing box out front. That's why we're going to have the diaper ministry, the swaddling clothes ministry here. When you possess Easter and understand how it changed you, the profession comes through in your actions and your giving. Because it's not the process of giving to others. Anybody can do that. You don't have to be a Christian. It's the Easter possession in us that leads us to give and help others. As I was writing this and get to this point, I was like, well, this almost sounds like a Stewardship Sunday sermon, doesn't it? Maybe I'll keep it for November and see if you remember it or not. Yeah. But these first Christians have given us an example of what we cannot ignore. Not now, not forever. Easter changed everything. It changed their lives. It changes our lives. It changes lives of yet people yet to come. Easter makes a difference in the lives of those who believe, and that is without a doubt. So go back to my question for you this morning. What difference does Easter make for you? For you. That's the important part. How does it affect you personally? When you figure out that answer, go out and share the difference Easter made for you. And then you will be an imitator. You'll be an imitator of Jesus. Amen.